It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
We are live Sunday night, January 16th, 2022. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Sit Down with yours truly. I am Don Tony. I hope everybody is having a good weekend. Shout out to Doug. My weekend so far, not done too much. Yesterday, it was kind of a wasted day. Tonight, we're supposed to get a little snow, change to rain, supposed to be icy. And tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so I will be off from work. I mean, that's not the reason why we celebrate it, but I get to sleep in a little bit late tonight. So, listen, before we go any further, a couple of things. If you're not aware of it already, last week I had posted a tweet. If anybody out there knew any good artists to do some artwork to celebrate 25 years of doing this stuff, and the response was incredible. It wasn't just artists, but great artists. And I'm not going to lie, I had a very difficult time trying to choose who I wanted to reach out to first. So I picked one that I looked at their work and I said, all right, let's try this one first and talk to the person. Ends up being a big fan of the show and does not want me to mention his name publicly because then he doesn't want to get requests from a whole bunch of people. Hey, could you do me some artwork for free? Can you give me a little break here? Because he does this for a living. So he's like, can I make something up for you? I'd be honored. I said, absolutely. Literally, within minutes of him sending me the rough draft, he's like, look, you want anything changed? You let me know. I looked at it. I said, absolutely perfect. Celebrating 25 years of Don Tony. Shirts are now available. And just to show you a couple of designs, if you want to check it out, that is the front where it says 25 years. That's the back. I had some people that wanted a reverse. That is the jersey style in the front. That is the 25 in the back. We got pillows. We got thermoses, blankets, shirts. That's too small. That's Mustafa Ali. There you go. So, come on, man. That's pretty freaking sweet. I got to thank this person tremendously. You know, first time out of the box, beautiful. And we will, throughout the year, we will have some additional designs available. But you know me, I normally don't celebrate milestones and anniversaries, but 25 years is something that no one else could brag about online. You know, I don't even know who comes in second closest. Maybe Jason? I think Jason might be second. Bob the Builder, what's up, Bob? Shout out to you, my friend. Can I post a retro episode about the CM Punk Colt Cabana podcast? Well, if you're talking about the episode where Punk talked about the doctor, or was it Dr. Aman or whatever his name was? Yeah, I could do that for you. Sure. In fact, if I don't get anything later, she's watching inside. You know, then I'll have some time tonight. I'll look up that episode. If not, I'll do it this week. Sure. I don't mind. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I think I'm going to start taking some special requests. Not all the time because we'll get hit with 100. But we'll take some special requests for particular times in wrestling, you know, over the last 25 years. I'll see what I got, you know. So, yeah, so there you go if you want to go check it out. I got to show you one more thing that you will really, really appreciate. Now, you know the logo for the show. It's like the Godfather logo. A lot of people have used it. Thursday, when I was here, okay, I was talking about my coffee. And I said that I started getting into the idea of doing drip format. And for people that ask me, DT, I'm surprised you didn't just do a Google search or a look up a search on YouTube. But this is what the drip format is. Basically, it's like a filter cone. And all you literally do is you take your cup of coffee that's empty, you stick it on top, you pour the grinds in there, and then you use like a kettle. You put like a tablespoon of hot water. It's got to be about 200, 205 degrees. Tablespoon of hot water, wait about 30 seconds so all the grinds, the coffee beans, the oils open up, the ground coffee swells up. Then you fill up your cup of coffee. So I literally get an email alert on Friday that I have UPS on the way. Now, I get UPS alerts for my house, for my office, for my P.O. box. And not many people have my house address. But I get an email alert that something's being delivered on Saturday to my P.O. box. So yesterday, I say to my fiance, I'm like, you want to take a ride to the post office? Something's there. I said, you know, hopefully it's not IRS stuff or anything like that. But I open up the thing. Tommy D, one of our channel members, sent me this. Holy cannoli coffee. Coffee beans. I got a picture of it. I looked it up online. Holy cannoli. These are coffee beans that smell like cannolis. And any of you out there know how I feel about cannolis? My first wrestling name was Tony Cannoli. How many of you knew that? A lot of you, you know the Don Tony story, but my first name actually ever was Tony Cannoli. So I have not opened it up yet. So tomorrow, because not for nothing, my hands are a little sore from grinding the other shit. So tomorrow I'm going to grind some of it up and we're going to try it out. Holy cannoli coffee. And my God, this is me podcasting in about 20 years. That's what I'm going to look like. Seriously. That's exactly me. Unbelievable. Look at that son of a bitch. That is freaking awesome. So guys, what's on your mind? You know, remember, I appreciate the Super Chats. I appreciate the PayPals. I appreciate it. It helps. Believe me, it helps in more ways than you can ever know. It helps me reinvest into the shows as well. And remember, I never use anybody's Super Chats or contributions to give gifts to others. I use my corporation account to take care of that stuff. And I write it off as taxes. So I don't commingle the two. So when you send me something, trust me, it's for me. But, you know, on Sundays and Thursdays, especially for channel members, Thursdays from now on, Super Chats are off. I'm turning it off because there's no need. But even on Sundays, there's no need to. I mean, I'm not going to stop anybody if you still want to. There's no need. You have my undivided attention. Sundays, not professional format. I have a feeling somebody is going to bring up the Mustafa Ali situation today. In fact, I know someone else is going to bring up later the WWE comments about self-mutilation, which I kind of hinted about yesterday. And yes, I said I was going to talk about it Monday with Mish. But you know what? I don't think we're going to be able to wait until Monday. I'm pulling up the quote. I just pulled up the quote. So I got that ready for you. But, you know, whatever you guys want to talk about. And, you know, hey, you could be like Darren Gordon Hill. Shut up and take my money. That wasn't a super chat, you cheap buck. I'm kidding with you. See, now we could do things like this. You know, no need to super chats. Just comment. Comment. I will post things up. Meltzer has not done a podcast for that long. Meltzer's been around way before I've ever done anything. And Meltzer is a million times bigger than me. I don't put myself in the same league as his, you know, as the bottom of his shoes. Meltzer is one of the greatest of all time. Yes, I know about the tweet, you know, well, the tweet apology of what he wrote in the newsletter about Auschwitz, whatever that is. To me, I just thought it was a stupid tweet. I know what his intentions were. I just thought it was dumb. But I will tell you something else that's dumb also. Seriously. You know what's more dumb than Meltzer's tweet? The people out there that said, oh, but he's Jewish. But he's Jewish. I mean, if anybody's going to, he's Jewish. What the fuck does that mean? A black person can't belittle another black person? A white person can't insult another white person? You justify the dumb comment with, he's Jewish. I mean, if he really wanted to insult, he's not going to insult his own kind. What kind of ignorant statement is that? I thought that was worse than his stupid humor. But to me, it was just stupid humor. But you want to know something? I'm not Jewish. So I'm not the person to really comment on it. For those that are Jewish, if you were offended by it or if you weren't offended by it, if you just wrote it off as a bad joke, you know, whatever, that's you're the ones that have the right. Me, I don't. I don't. But I still love Meltzer. I love Meltzer. I understand Meltzer. Meltzer's been a Japanese nut fan for many, many years, and I still follow him. He's biased towards Japanese wrestling and some AEW. It's his right. It's his right. Nobody is supposed to tell him, you're supposed to like everything evenly. Bullshit. Bullshit. If you don't like his stuff, don't follow him, don't read it, don't buy his newsletter, don't listen to his shows, don't listen to his guest appearances. Ignore him. I ignore Bruce Mitchell. I ignore Brad Shepard until he says something asinine. There's a lot of people out there I don't pay any mind to. So if he doesn't appeal to you, ignore him. Yes, yes. I've seen that many times. Wasn't he sitting next to Vince on that Phil Donahue show from the early 90s? Yeah. If any of you out there, if you want to see Dave Meltzer sitting with Vince McMahon on a Phil Donahue show, just Google, go on YouTube. There's plenty of clips online. Plenty of clips. So, radio wrestling. What's this? Rory isolating with COVID, listening to the show in Ireland. Loved the show since he discovered it in 2016. Rarely get to listen live because of the time difference. Wow, it's 1:18 a.m. by you. I don't blame you for still being up with the COVID stuff. I have a few friends that have gotten Omicron, and they told me, you know, like they didn't get really good sleep or anything like that. Maybe I'll bore you to sleep, you know? But don't mind my shirt tonight. It's like this is a clip, a phrase from the Andrew Dice Clay movie, Ford Fairlane. I've always enjoyed Andrew Dice Clay. You know, so I wanted to wear it today as a little tribute to Dice Man. So many assholes, so few bullets. What was the redhead's name? Oh, I can't remember his name. Juju Petals was the blonde chick from Ford Fairlane. What was his name? Anybody remember his name? The redheaded guy that was obsessed with that band? I don't remember his name. Someone will Google it. Kevin Milwaukee says, so many assholes, so few chat. Yeah, look, Sunday night, it's Sunday night football. You know, not everybody wants to just live chat and call. You know, speaking of calls, my battery's on 38%. So I don't know how many calls we're going to be able to take today. But like I said, and you know what? A few of you have come up with the idea, rotate. The last week we took a lot of calls. This week we do a lot of chat. Next week we do a lot of calls. The week after we do a lot of chat. We'll see. We'll see. Michael Gonzalez wants a shout out to the Bucks and the 49ers for eliminating the Cowboys. And the Cowboys got eliminated. Wasn't Sheamus and Bailey at that game today? How about them Cowboys? Remember what I said? You want to spot a fake Italian, like a wannabe gangster in a bar or a club? I'm telling you, if you ever see this, you'll remember me. But if you ever go to a bar or a restaurant, Italian restaurant or a club, and you see some like guys that look like they're gangsters or they think they're gangsters, whenever you see the pinky raised when they drink something, you know that that's a fake gangster. For some reason, fake gangsters, and I used to see it go in the Butterfingers back in the early 90s. They won't drink like this. No, they'll do this. It's like their pinky gets erect. They're like, and they got a slurper too. And then some of the morons drink a shot of water right after. They got that from Robert De Niro in Goodfellas. But Robert De Niro took a shot of, I think, Remy Martin, and then he took the shot of water. They do it with coffee. SITV Network, what is going on? He's heard me talk about the mafia before. Did I ever encounter Michael Frances and what Frances and my thoughts on the mafia? Well, I've never come across him. I've come across many members before for the long time. Friends out there, I will not tell the John Gotti Fish Club story again when I was the honorary member for a day. I won't talk about Victoria Gotti going to my wedding back in 99. We won't talk about that. The worst encounter that I ever had with the Italian mafia, and I have to say Italian because a lot of you probably aware about the Russian mafia story with Jasmine St. Clair, right? Tell me a lot of you out there know it. For those on the archive that know the story, right now they're like, oh God, please, chat room, please, please overwhelmingly say you've heard that story. I don't need to hear it again. Please, God. Shout out to One Fall. So if you all don't know the story about the Russian mafia, Jasmine St. Clair, with yours truly, I'll tell you the story. But my worst encounter with the Italian mafia, and this is a true story. Well, actually, there's two. The first story was back, I got to say, about maybe a little less than 20 years ago. It's more than 20 years ago. It's about 22 years ago. It's 1999, because I got my white Lincoln in 2000. And what does the white Lincoln have to do with it? I'll tell you in a minute. In 1999, one day I was in my office, and I won't say the customer's first name, but his last name was Annunziata, okay? He was in my office, and he was sitting, waiting for me to take care of him. And he got a little impatient. I was taking care of another customer. And I don't know. See, I don't have any car keys over here. Car keys would be like the perfect sound effect. I'm almost tempted to go inside to get car keys. That's how great the sound effect is. Do I have anything? I don't think I do. Oh, I'll just explain it to you. So this customer, while I'm taking care of this other customer, this guy Annunziata is sitting on the waiting area, and after about 5 minutes, I hear this. And like that, and then I hear keys rattling. He's getting like really, really impatient, and all I keep hearing is under his breath, and I keep hearing the chains rattling. After about him waiting for about 10 minutes, he comes over to me and he says, you know, like, Auntie, how much more am I going to have to wait? And I looked at him and I said, as long as it takes. And he says, huh? I said, look, as long as it takes. I'm taking care of somebody right now. If you were sitting in this chair, you wouldn't want me to rush you out the door because someone else keeps panting under their breath and rattling their keys. He's like, you know what? Go fuck yourself. And he left. I kind of felt bad afterwards, but I didn't think anything of it. I'm like, wow, that's pretty fucking rude. I'm taking care of a customer. It's insurance. I don't work in a bodega. Give me $5 in scratch-off tickets and then you leave. So, you know, he left. The next day, I swear on my mother and my father, you know how close I am to them. The next day, three wise guys in Italian suits show up in my office. You, Anthony? And I'm like, yes, can I help you? One guy stood by the door, and I think a customer, a mailman, somebody was walking by the door. And the guy is behind the door, and he's like, like this. And now I'm saying to myself, what the fuck? I thought it was FBI or something like that. And I said to myself, I didn't do anything wrong. He's like, you had a problem yesterday with, you know, I don't want to mention his first name, Annunziata. I said, not really. I said, you know, I was taking care of a customer and, you know, after 5 minutes, you know, he was making these sounds under his breath and he's rattling his keys and he walks up to me in front of my customer and he's like, how much longer is it going to take? And I told him as long as it, as I need. And he's like, well, he's not really happy right now. And, you know, I think you need to apologize. Now, I'm not stupid. You know, I'm not one of these tough guys like these people on Twitter where I'm going to turn around and say, get the fuck, I'm not apologizing to nobody. I was like, yeah, all right, I'll apologize. I said, maybe I was a little bit rude. Well, maybe. I had to call up the guy and apologize to him on speakerphone in front of these three wise guys. And I said, look, I said, I am really, really sorry. And, you know, I said, I was just under a lot of pressure and I don't like having to have customers wait, not even 2 minutes. He accepted my apology. They left. I never saw them ever again. The reason why I brought up the white Lincoln is because he owned that white Lincoln. About 6 months later, he says to me, he goes, hey, you know anyone that wants to buy an old Lincoln Mach 7? And I was like, wow, I always wanted one when I was a kid. My father promised me one when I graduated high school, but I graduated under 90 average, so he didn't give it to me. I said, I always wanted one. He's like, well, why don't you buy it? So I was like, how much? I don't want to say how much I paid for it, but I went down there and I saw it and I bought the car. So I got off lucky. I got off lucky, but that scared the shit out of me. Seriously, it scared the shit out of me. Because you realize you messed with the wrong person. I will say this in hindsight. You know, in hindsight, you know, somebody to be that upset, you know, like that humiliated. It's not like his girlfriend was there or other friends where they're like, he shut you up. It's not like I embarrassed him in front of his friends or in front of his lover. You know, there's nobody else but him, a customer, and me. He got that upset that he sent people to my office. Not fun. It's not fun. So the story about, the other mafia story, a lot of you know this. Some guy that was like, 84, 85 years old punched me out in my office and he was highly connected. What happened was his son had a car insurance policy with me. And he had it with me for a long time, like 3 or 4 cars, and it was with Progressive. And long story short, he had this Pathfinder or a car that he was no longer using, that he was selling. So his father says, hey, could you take the insurance off the Pathfinder? I said, give me the receipt that the plates were turned in. And he says they didn't turn in the plates yet. They're going to turn in the plates once they give away the car. And I said, you know, in New York, you're supposed to show proof of turning in the plates first before you remove a vehicle, or you cancel because you find another company or you don't pay a bill. That's really only 3 ways of canceling. He's like, look, you know, the car's going to be parked up for a month. We don't want to pay the extra insurance on it. Is there any way you could just turn in the insurance, cancel it? I'm like, why don't you give me the plates? I'll turn in the plates for you, and I'll cancel the insurance. Well, they never sent me the plates. And you know, they pushed me, and I got the insurance taken off of it. Lo and behold, a week later, the son decides he's going to drive the Pathfinder. Gets into an accident on a highway, almost kills a woman. Being sued like crazy. And the father comes in, he's like, you didn't take the insurance off the Pathfinder, did you? I said, I did exactly what you told me. And he's like, you got to put that insurance back on. And he tells me about the accident. I said, look, I don't know what I can do. So when I call Progressive, the calls are recorded. They knew that the customer was in my office when I took the vehicle off. So for about 2 or 3 weeks, every couple of days, the father would come in and say, look, you know, did you hear anything? Did you hear anything? Did you hear anything? So after like the 4th or 5th time, I'm like, look, there's nothing I can do. I can't lie. The calls are recorded. There's nothing I can do. I'm really, really sorry. But whatever happened with your son should have not taken that car out. Or better yet, you should have not taken the insurance off. For what? To save $100? 80-something years old, gets out of his chair, punches me square in the mouth. There was another customer in my office that watched it, and I'm like in shock. And my first reaction was, I did a hotline report that night. I don't remember what episode it was. I mean, all I got to do is look back at the date of the accident and, you know, just add a week or two to it. And that's probably the episode I did. So my immediate reaction was to punch him back. But then I said to myself, holy shit, if I hit him and he catches a heart attack, I'm going to get arrested for murder. I didn't have cameras in my office or anything yet at that time. So instead, I grab the phone and I call my brother downstairs. I said, you're not going to believe this. So-and-so just punched me in the face and he's flipping out in my office. The guy's almost 90 years old. I said, I don't know what to do. My brother calls the cops. He comes up into my office. My father was still working in the shopping center at the time. He comes up. They lock the door so the guy can't leave. Guy's like, you know, like really, and we started getting worried that he was going to get a heart attack. So I said, open the door. They open the door. The guy leaves. So the cops show up. The cops asked me what happened. I told them what happened. They asked my customer who was sitting waiting to see me, who saw the whole thing. They're interviewing the customer downstairs in the shopping center. All of a sudden, you hear screaming outside. I have no idea who it is. I'm in the office with the cops. My father's in the office with me. My brother's in the office with me. They're screaming outside. We all jolt to the door and open the door. And my customer that witnessed everything, when he went downstairs, it ends up that he knew this other customer. And the other customer and his son showed up. You're a fucking rat. You're a fucking rat. And I'm not going to use any other expletives that they say, you know, you could only imagine. Cursing, the cops are in my office, yelling and screaming. You better fucking watch your back. You better watch this. And it's like turns into this massive thing. So they're asking me, do I want to press charges? And I said, no. I said, I'm fine. I said, you know, he's distraught. His son is probably going to lose a lot of money. I said, the father's distraught. So I'm not going to press charges. So the cops tell the son and the father to leave. They told the father that I'm not pressing charges and, you know, leave it alone. 3 days later, the customer that witnessed it, he walked out to his car. All the windows were blown out of his car because he ratted to the cops and told the cops what happened. I stay clear away from people. The problem is, and I know what some of you are thinking, and I've had this conversation with my father before. The problem is you can't tell sometimes when a customer is going to eventually be a problem when they go in your office. You know, it doesn't matter if you're white, black, Italian, Spanish, it doesn't matter who you are. You can't predict when a customer ultimately becomes a problem. And, you know, I've dealt with taxi livery guys who ended up committing fraud. I've dealt with gangsters, wannabe gangsters. I've dealt with the lowest of the low. And the problem is, you know, if a customer accuses you of being biased and refusing insurance, whether you have, you know, you feel you have legitimate reason or not, you could lose your license over it, especially in New York. Just imagine somebody, a minority especially, accusing me of not taking care of them because they're black or because of this or an old man or somebody, anybody. So my father says to me, why do you deal with these people? And I'm like, Dad, you don't understand. When they come in and they first get insurance, I have no problems. I said, I can't screen everybody's behavior and run a history check on them. Just people turn out to be that way. So it sucks, man. It sucks. I'll spare you the Jasmine St. Clair story, though, because I know you want to talk about wrestling. But then again, maybe you don't. You know, it's your show tonight. You know, we're not going to hang out too long tonight. We're already 30 minutes in. So what else you want me? Who's going to win at WrestleMania, Naomi or Sonya? Steph, I wrote this in the comments on YouTube. I don't know if it was addressed to you or somebody else. I think Naomi deserves better at WrestleMania, unless there is a nice stipulation attached to it. I don't want to see Naomi become a GM. Naomi's too talented. She's too young. You know, she wants to wrestle. You know, she does have those abdominal problems that, who knows, maybe it's reoccurring. I don't know. The intestinal issues. But, you know, the stipulation, there's got to be a nice stipulation attached to it. And I will say this. If Naomi and Sonya have a match at WrestleMania, Naomi will win it. There's no way you go this long in this storyline without Naomi, the good girl, the good person, overcoming. Naomi's got to win it. There's got to be some special stipulation attached to it. But I just feel that it should be more. Mike, I think it's way too far past her joining the Bloodline. I think the storyline with the Bloodline is more than half over already. You know, I'm not saying it's going to end tomorrow because, you know, Usos are still champs. You know, I think possibly at WrestleMania, you know, put it this way, my gut feeling tells me that the Usos will remain tag champs until Mania, and we may have a clean sweep. After WrestleMania, Roman and the Usos will be without belts, and that might be the end of the Bloodline. Could be. I don't know, but I think this storyline is way more than half over. So bringing Naomi in there now, plus there's no faction with a female really that they could feud against. You know, if they would have still kept Hit Row there, I could have seen something like that. But they really don't have much with a faction with a female that could feud with the Usos right now. Yeah, I agree. By the way, I am cracking myself open a cream soda. Zevia cream soda. They are pretty good, man. If anybody drinks Zevia, be warned about the diet cola right now. I bought two cases of it 2 weeks apart, and they taste like bubble gum. Some of you may like that, but when I buy diet cola, I buy diet cola, so it tastes like diet cola. If I wanted bubble gum, I would have bought diet bubble gum. Twix, honestly, and I'm not trying to brush this off, go on YouTube, type in Don Tony, Macho Man Stephanie. I was on the podcast with Adam Huizy last year, and he asked me point blank my thoughts on that rumor. And I gave about a 10-minute answer that I think is probably one of the greatest answers that anybody's ever given about Macho Man and Stephanie. Go check. In fact, you know what? We got to show a little love to Adam. Even though, Adam, I'm still pissed off about your buddy on your network trying to talk shit about me. You know, I understand he didn't know who I was, and I'm not going to turn into Mr. Annunziata like I talked about before. You know, but, you know, telling me that I'm copying off of other people with my analysis and stuff, like, is this guy kidding me? I don't even think this guy had pubic hair when I started doing my hotline. But I'll show Adam some love anyway. When I go like this, the link will pop up on the replay where you can watch my answer about Stephanie and Macho Man. 34 minutes in. I got to have some time stamps, don't I? Starkiller, what's the best advice I could give after a bad breakup, do's and don'ts? Number one, don't look for another partner immediately because there's something called the rebound. I made that mistake. I know other people have made that mistake. You know, when you break up with people before that and the breakup is kind of crappy, you know, time wears away and you feel lonely and you kind of forget about why you broke up with people in the past. I hooked up with someone shortly after I got divorced. And I told this story. You know, I dated this girl, Kristen, in Elmont, Queens. A lot of you know that story back in the early 90s. Super Swaggin. Super Swaggin. Welcome, my friend. Welcome. Back in the early 90s, I was so whipped over this girl. I gave her my Ford Taurus, let her keep it. And we had a bad breakup. and I took the Benzi box out of the radio. And I brought it all the way to Middle Village, Queens. She drives to Middle Village, Queens, and she rings my mother's doorbell. You know, your son Anthony, and we had a breakup, but he took my radio, and all I want is my Benzi box. I don't want the chain back or anything like that. Can you give it to me? So I said, you want the Benzi box? I swear on my parents. I took the radio, poof, broke the back window with it. She called the cops. Almost got arrested over it. She was a psycho. I turned into a little bit of a psycho too. Whack job. Stay away from her. What happens? 10 years later, I have a breakup with my ex, and I'm a little lonely. I start talking to her. Let's hang out. I go to a bar, and the next thing I know, I see her pupils are like the size of like M&Ms. She's on some type of drugs in a bar with like five people in there. She's dancing on top of the table right in front of me. I look across the bar, and I see a guy like this. I walked out. I said, I got to go get cigarettes out of my car. I drove home. Never ever talked to her again. Left her in a bar. My advice, do not go with anybody on the rebound. Never settle either. I know we all want to have someone in our life. I broke up with my ex in 99. I vowed to never ever get married again. I'm getting married in September. I mean, sure, that's 23 years later, but I never ever thought I would ever again. And if it's meant to be with someone, you'll find someone when you least expect it. Do not never settle just so you don't feel lonely. Because 9 times out of 10, you're probably making a big mistake. And it may end up biting you in the ass. And look, every situation is different, but you know, don't get into the bad habits like, oh, let me just sit and watch TV and eat like 95 Big Macs and a whole bunch of Chinese food and Italian food and just eat cake and potato chips and just binge and just watch videos and make me laugh and happy and just eat all night long. You'll feel good for that night. But then in about a month, you're going to be like, who the fuck wants to bang me? I gained 20 pounds over it. Look, man. No joke. I'm humble enough to admit it. I definitely did all that. I'm telling you, my best friend for a very long time was food. Food would not curse me out. Would not, you know, want me to buy it jewelry. You know, I could cheat on McDonald's with Burger King, and I have no problems. I can't tell you how many times I used to hang. I'm not kidding. I can't. How many times I used to hang out with my friends. And in the back of my mind, oh, I can't wait to get a double cheeseburger, bacon cheeseburger deluxe later on. And get waffle fries, and some mozzarella sticks, chicken fingers, potato skins. And I can't wait to watch infomercials at 2 o'clock in the morning and just eat all night long. Or I'd stop, I'd look for a pizzeria that would be open at like 1 a.m. And you see like they're mopping the floors and all the chairs are outside, but the door is still open. And you walk in there, hey, you got any pizza left? I got these 5 dried up slices. Yeah, I'll take it. How much you want for it? Just give me $5. I mean, I was going to throw it out anyway. Don't get into that habit. Believe me. Now, I'm talking me 20-something years ago. This is not me now. But believe me when I tell you, I guarantee you there's a lot of people who tune in that, you know, unfortunately have made food a vice. I did it for too many years. I look more forward to eating by myself, pigging out, and that was my happiness. And, you know, the next thing you know, you go from a size 36 to a 38 to a 42. For some reason, your perspiration smells like, I don't know, Limburger cheese. You know, take a piece of Gorgonzola cheese in the summertime. Put it right on the sidewalk in front of your house. Let the sun beat down on it for 3 days and then put your nose right in front of it and go, that's what my armpits smell like. You know, that took a long time for me to get out of that habit. Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre. Big E versus Brock Lesnar at Mania, and Bayley winning the Rumble. No. We got into it yesterday. I think for a lot of you out there, all right, first of all, you know, we touched on this yesterday, but I want to clarify this a little bit better. You know, we talked about WWE thinking about changing the Elimination Chamber name to the WrestleMania Chamber. That's a selling point to the Crown Prince. Prince. You know the example I always say, Prince. We always have King of the Ring. What if we do Queen? You could pick the winner. Here, you could look from this list of WWE women that all could work in Saudi Arabia. You choose who you want. And I'm not going to say any names, but he looks at this. Then he looks at Queen Zelina. Like that cartoon where the eyeballs pop out. Oh, give me Zelina. We saw that a month before the tournament ended. So now, Crown Prince, we always had the Elimination Chamber. What if we give you the WrestleMania Chamber? That's the winner. Main events WrestleMania. Tell me more. Listen, guys, gals. If you think the number one reason that they're changing the elimination name because of what has happened in Saudi Arabia in the past, with beheadings and stuff like that, elimination, you'll go back to the Jewish days. Are you fucking nuts? Let me explain why you're crazy, if anybody thinks that. I'm not talking about regular. I mean, I could understand why some of you would think. I'm talking about journalist people. You know why that's insane? Because Saudi Arabia will never acknowledge that they have a problem. So WWE has simulated violence. We had Hell in a Cell. Did they change it to Heck in a Cell? Did they change it to All Is Well in a Cell? Saudi is not triggered by these names. Stockholders, investors are not triggered by these names. I guarantee you that if stockholders had a problem with it, the name would have been something different a long, long time ago. So they're changing the name to make it seem more important. Not to appease some people on social media that get triggered over every little thing. You see all the people today about Mustafa Ali? I invite you to do this. You have some free time? Do this. Seriously. This will segue to Mustafa Ali. Some people online that you feel a little too outspoken about Ali's release or him requesting his release. Now, I'm jumping a little ahead. So let me show you what happened today. And then I got some homework for you all to do. Because unfortunately, maybe some people like to revise history. The homework that I tell you, boys and girls, they can't do nothing about. Mustafa Ali, earlier today, wrote this. I am requesting my release from WWE. And for those on audio only, it is a silhouette of his character in WWE. And in text, it says, I have a message that is much bigger than my dreams in pro wrestling. Despite my best efforts, I will not be able to deliver this message while working with WWE. Therefore, I am requesting my release from WWE. Okay. Now, that's too small. Now, my initial reaction to it is this. Mustafa Ali is one of the more talented wrestlers that WWE has. Now, people out there today saying, oh, he could be the leader of any company. Yeah, a company that draws 300. And I'm not saying that to hurt the guy's feelings. You look at Ring of Honor, you look at MLW, you look at a lot of these promotions, and you have these larger-than-life stars that sign with AEW, that sign with WWE. Oh, they're gem from the indie circuit, but yet they only owe Drew 300. There are no indie feds out there other than maybe GCW right now that are drawing nice-sized crowds. So when I say drawing 300, that is not a shot on Ali. It's just that when you start thinking about some of the feds that some of you all thinking, what do you think, Impact Wrestling's been drawing 2,000 on their shows? Why do you think the lights are so dimmed? The intimate surroundings? They try to cover up the fact that there's only a handful of rows there. Ali is one of the more talented wrestlers on our roster. It does blow my mind that WWE doesn't have more for this guy. Now, I'm not trying to justify this, but I'm going to say it this way. I'm trying to understand why WWE didn't use him better the last couple of months. Now, I read the reports that he may have had an argument with Vince McMahon back in November or October, whatever it was, and he's been off the shows, not even in the building since then. We don't know what the storyline was, all right? I have no idea. I could only imagine. I'm not going to crap on a storyline that I don't know what it is. But Vince apparently pitched an idea that Ali was like, are you fucking crazy? Now, so again, you know, you could turn around, you could just say, what a WWE, were you fucking stupid? And fuck you, fuck this up. What the fuck is wrong with you? Meanwhile, they're making $1 billion. Yeah, that argument doesn't seem to stick all that well. So I choose to try to understand why WWE could not utilize this man more. The only thing that I could come up with so far, if you go back and look at the New America promo that he did a few months ago, creative, spectacular, awesome, innovative, makes you think, may not fit in with WWE's mantra at the moment. WWE doesn't seem like they're getting into these really complex storylines. It's almost like easy listening music. Oh, I never fought you before. Oh, we have a history. I don't care anymore. I'll beat you up. No, I'll beat you up. You know, oh, my wife can beat up your wife. You know, WWE storylines right now seem to be easy listening. AEW is more like that hard rock radio station. You know, I have to take my hat off for this one because I did not rehearse this in advance. I have no idea how stupid this is going to look. Maybe I got to take the glasses off too. But right now, you tune into WWE, the storylines are not advanced. You don't see people saying, oh, a storyline 2 years in the making. Now, WWE is like when you're sitting in a doctor's office. You turn on AEW, and it's like Wayne's World. Oh, I'm getting dizzy. It's like, GCW, I'm not even going to attempt. I'd be like Animal from the Muppets. I'll end up falling out of my chair and go, Animal! Mustafa Ali is arguably one of the more creative people around. I just don't think WWE is looking for that right now. Am I wrong? Seriously, if you feel that I'm wrong, write it in the comment section after the show is over. I'm trying to give you a logical explanation. I'm not saying I agree with it. I like more complicated storylines. But right now, it's the road to Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. The storylines seem kind of... Look at Bayley. It's the 1 year anniversary. Ding dong. Hello. Ding dong. Hello. I'm not knocking it. I liked it. WWE is easy listening right now. Mustafa Ali wanted to reinvent music. WWE, I think, is just like not on our fucking radio station in 2022. That's the only logical explanation that I could come up with this. I don't know how you feel about it. Ali is such an incredible wrestler, but WWE is character-driven, storyline-driven. Every person they're trying to have a storyline with. Nikki, almost a superhero. Cesaro and Ricochet are one of the rare examples. And where does that have them right now? You know, not knocking it down in a championship or the win department. Dana Brooke, you know, 24/7 title. Tamina running around trying to beat up R-Truth and Tozawa. Remember what I said a couple of days ago? The Women's Royal Rumble, with the exception of a few legends, every woman in that Royal Rumble has a big-time adversary right now. I don't know if anybody's really thought about that. Every single one. Now, Aaliyah, her adversary may be Natalya at the moment, but you look at everybody on the roster, they're the yin, there is a yang in that Royal Rumble. There was no yang for Mustafa Ali. That's the only logical explanation I could come up with this. WWE is, it's ridiculous that if they don't want something complicated, they don't want a new America. They just want easy fun. Fun. Oh, I got this idea. We could do this. It could change the world. And we could start a new faction and maybe start a new planet. And then this is, they do this. Now, we already have something new, and it's called the New Day. You know, New America, you know, maybe for another promotion that wants to, just imagine, you look at all the storylines. Look at all the storylines that WWE has. It is all like, you could explain every storyline within 30 seconds of each other. Now, you have your whole product based on that. And then you get to Ali, and he's got this beautiful 500-page novel. And I love it. I love this promo. I think it's spectacular. But when you look at everything going on in WWE right now, I mean, you just think, it. Like I said, it's like tuning in to like a radio station with dentist music. And then, you know, one song out of the hour, they decide to put on Nirvana or, I don't know, AC/DC or whatever. Korn. That's what it came across to me with Mustafa Ali. So sure, you'll have 10,000 podcasts out there to be like, what are you fucking stupid? Bruce, what are you stupid? Is he fucking handed to you on a platter? Are you fucking kidding me? Bruce, Vince, what are you fucking nuts? Or you could try to understand it. I think WWE is making a big mistake by letting this man go. With all of the releases, it doesn't surprise me if WWE says, God, go. But here's the homework for all of you out there. Here's the homework. Yeah, even better, Crazy Shem. It's like turning into a radio station. You want to hear Beethoven and Mozart. And then, you know, 40 minutes in, oh, we got 3 hours of nothing but Beethoven and Mozart. And then two hours and 10 minutes in, you get a song from Metallica. Ali's been off TV since October. If you saw anybody tonight that seemed a little bit over the top, triggered by Ali's release. Now, look, don't get me wrong. We all know Ali is one of the most talented, brightest stars WWE has. Arguably one of the most misused as well. But if you feel that there are some people online that are way over the top about this, here's your homework. After the show is over, or you could pause the show now, go on Google and type in advanced Twitter search. Pull it up, type in Mustafa Ali. And then you go to the advanced settings and you put in from October 1st. Since he hasn't been on TV since October, go October 1st to today. And you put in that user's name on Twitter. And let's see how many times over the last 3 months he or she wrote, what the fuck is WWE doing with Ali? Where the fuck is he going? Where has he been? Why aren't they using him? I mean, I know he took paternity leave, but 3 months, you know, what's going on? Man, I miss Ali. Man, what happened with this? When you see 0 to 1 tweets, and then today it's like 9 tweets about it, and then they can't get it out of their mouth. This is more about them using this to say fuck you to WWE another time, or them trying to say, I'm more creative than you, WWE. Now, as far as me, I'll admit it, I have said very, very little about Mustafa Ali. Because other than the New America thing, he's been off TV. I haven't thought about the guy at all. I understand his talent. We've talked about it for years. It looked a little bit awkward to see him as the leader of Retribution, not because of his descent, but because when you see these giant characters or wearing masks and all this over-the-top garb, and he's just in the ring, it looked like intermission at an Impact Wrestling event. Here, you could go in the ring and you could pose with Retribution, and it looked like Mustafa Ali said, yeah, I'll pay $20. Can I take a picture with Retribution? That's what it looked like to me when I first saw it. I don't care about a Muslim or anything like that. It has nothing to do with nationality. I saw people today. Hey, Tony, you got to talk to your dad. Do a fellow Muslim a solid. Bring him on your roster. What the fuck are these people doing? You put him on the roster because he's a talented, creative. And that's the thing about Ali that really stands out more than anything. The guy wasn't taking a shit. And then said, you know, what if we do a New America? And we base it on reality. It's almost like something with Muhammad Hassan, but more complicated, not so big. You know, he wasn't taking a dump and it just came to him like that. This guy's been thinking and thinking and thinking, how do I make my character relevant, better, interesting, you know, get people invested in it? We all know the guy is a great wrestler, but we all know that in WWE, it's not just about good wrestling. That's just the facts. So Ali requesting his release. I'll say one last thing in closing. Maybe I'll make this a separate clip so people could comment on it that don't tune into the shows. I say this, and I just finished saying for probably 10 minutes how much Ali creatively and talent and how talented he is in the ring. I am not knocking the guy, but I have to say this also. What happened to dealing with your stuff privately? I mean, if he would have been released already, then I could see him going on social media and say, I requested and was granted my release from WWE. It's already done. You're announcing to your fans, I'm no longer a part of WWE. Putting this online like this, what happened to doing things professionally and privately? You know, how many wrestlers, they go to Starbucks because the person misspelled their name or put an extra sugar in their coffee. And the first thing they want to do, instead of just saying, look, you know, you put too much sugar in my coffee. I guarantee you somebody in Starbucks will probably say, oh, I'm sorry. They dump it out. They give you a new coffee. No, in this day and age, they got to go on Twitter. Look at Starbucks. I asked for one sugar and they gave me three. They can't even get that right. Starbucks, what's your problem? With this and to that. I can't believe it. I walked to the store, I asked for a pound of grapes, and they gave me a pound and a quarter. Look at everybody's trying to rip everybody off. Why do people always have to run to social media to complain about things? I personally feel Ali should have requested his release privately, been granted it, then he announces to everybody publicly, look, I requested and I got my release. Doing this, I don't know. Just me, it's like, it feels like he needed, this is how I interpret it, he needed to get 50,000 pats on the back. That since he put so much attention to his character, he wants to put so much attention to his release. Got to get 50,000 pats on the back. Good, good. They better grant it. WWE, see, you fucked up again. That hurts after a while. Or, he did that to try to give the biggest this to WWE. Not only am I going to request my release, but I don't respect you enough that I go and tell the internet before I tell you. Now, in fairness, there have been wrestlers who found out that they were released from reading a news article, then being contacted from WWE directly. So it does go on both ways. But there's always a phrase, you don't justify bad behavior with other bad behavior. You don't justify dumb actions with other dumb actions. So it just felt like, oh, WWE fucked me. They fucked my character. They were going to fuck me again. And they were going to do all this. They don't listen to me. They don't respect me. They don't care about me. This, this, and that. So me, you know, professional, stand up. You know, no, just handing in my resignation is not good enough. You know, no, I'll go tell the internet before I tell my employer I quit. As much as you don't like WWE, I don't know. I compare it to any of you out there in a relationship. Imagine if your boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, wasn't happy about you and decided to post on your personal Facebook page and hashtag all your friends and family, I'm breaking up with blah, 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 blah. Just doesn't do it for me. Instead of telling that person directly, how would you feel if somebody broke up with you and instead of telling you first, they go and they post it so all your friends and family could see it before everyone else? Ha ha! What's so funny? Why is everybody laughing at me? Oh, you don't know? Oh, you should log into your Facebook page. Then you go and you see it. Meanwhile, Aunt Mary and Uncle Josh and Cousin Luke Bushwhacker, come on. I mean, I know WWE screwed up Mustafa Ali's character, underutilized him, no question. But to turn around and post it as a social media tweet instead of going directly to your employer, I mean, I don't know. To me, that kind of rubs me the wrong way. Liam Savage, thank you very much, my friend. Family member passed yesterday, and this is helping him distract a little bit. My condolences, Liam. And look, you know, I don't obviously do this, you know, because someone's got this or so. I do it so everybody, you know, could just get a little escape for a little while. I don't rehearse this stuff. Trust me. You think I stood in the other room? Hey, tonight I'm going to go like this. Trust me, I would have run into 15 walls, been dizzy as I just, whatever, just talk about it. If I get your mind off of tragedies, problems, you know, issues with family, friends, health, you know, I'm glad that I'm there for all of you out there. I really appreciate that. And chat room is sending their condolences to you as well. So for real, for real. But I don't know. Where am I wrong with the Mustafa Ali stuff? You know, post it in the comment section after. And look, you could tell me. I don't bite. I respect it. You know, you could disagree with me. You know, don't disagree with me just to disagree with me because you don't stand out even more about it. Just be honest. You know, tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where I don't see it. So, now, in closing with Ali, people were asking me earlier, where should he go next? And I thought about this quite a bit. James Pascoe, shout out to you, my friend. Welcome back. Oh, actually, happy anniversary. See, online, it says you became a member. Fact is, it is his 12-month anniversary. 1 year ago today, he made the stupidest decision to become a channel member. Much love. By the way, forgot to mention, for my VIP channel members, I put up a discount code earlier. If you want to order any merch, you get 10% off. If you're a member of the Elite family, I put a discount code up early where you get 20% off. So, I thought about this quite a bit before. Where should Ali go? And I got two answers for you. Believe it or not, neither one are AEW. Now, don't get me wrong. I saw a lot of people posting fantasy matches in AEW. And I loved them all. From Bryan Danielson to Kenny Omega, you know, down to CM Punk and, you know, Hangman Page and Jay Lethal and this and that. Here's the problem when you come up with 10 matches like that. Think a little bit outside the box. Use Jake Atlas as an example. Of all the fantasy matches that you all posted for AEW, I ask you this honest question. All of the fantasy people you put them up against, at the end of those matches, who do you think is going to win? Who do you think is going to win? I mean, if you put versus Kenny Omega, and it has nothing to do with heritage, ancestry, doesn't matter if it's white or Muslim or anything. I'm just saying, you look at how, what do you think? All of the big-time stars in their promos, I'm undefeated. I only have one loss. I don't really have one loss. I have no losses. I have one loss. I'm undefeated. See that? You think he's going to lose to Kenny Omega? You think he's going to lose to Hangman Page? You think he's going to lose to a Buck? You think he's going to lose to CM Punk? You think he's going to lose to Bryan Danielson? And you could go on and on. You think he's going to lose to Sammy Guevara? You think he's going to lose? You go down the list. Unless Serpentico is one of the persons on that list. Loss, 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 loss. Maybe against Jay Lethal, but loss, 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 loss. So as much as you want a fantasy match, think of the outcomes more than the fantasy match. Because if you get all nine of your fantasy matches fulfilled and he's 1-8, sorry, AEW does this top five thing. He might get lucky, you know, and he might have like 95 wins and one loss if he's on Dark every week and he wrestles twice. So when you come up with these fantasy matches, don't just throw, oh my God, could you imagine? Oh my God, Kenny Omega versus, holy shit, Sammy Guevara versus Mustafa Ali, Adel Aram. Could you imagine? Yeah, I can imagine. Awesome match. I'd like a couple of wins for the guy. I think NWA or Impact Wrestling or GCW. Those are the three players. In fact, I don't not even NWA. Impact Wrestling or GCW. That is where I think Mustafa Ali will be able to show off and Impact Wrestling even more because of the TV. His creative character, he could build it on social media. He could record it and air it on YouTube. So GCW is not out of the question. But I think Impact Wrestling or GCW would be two perfect, perfect places for Ali. And that's because not only do I want to see him work, not only do I want to see him creatively, I want to see him win. And win often. In a lot of these fantasy matches, it's all cool and everything. But how's about telling me who the outcome, who's going to be the winner of these matches? You think any of those people are going to suddenly go on all these losing streaks? Sorry, AEW really doesn't use disqualifications. So you get these fantasy matches. Oh, my God, every match that I wanted to see him have in AEW, he had. Well, fuck, he's 1-8. Diversity. No, it's not diversity. It's just there's too many people much higher on the food chain that he has to leapfrog. Jay Lethal, when he signed, I know there's some people online, oh, yeah, give me credit, you know, for looking at, where is Jay Lethal? He's missing. The day he signed, I said, give it 2 months, and you're going to see how misused this guy was. What did he do? He lost to Sammy Guevara. He got thrown over the top rope by Matt Hardy, and he helps Dante Martin win because suddenly he wants the FTW title. That's how you use Jay Lethal for 2 months. You tell me that they're going to use Mustafa Ali. You know why people want to see Mustafa Ali in AEW also? Because they know that in that promotion, you'll get 1 million fans. They'll be able to watch him on TV, cut a promo, and rip his former employer. That is another reason why. People wouldn't say that publicly. But deep down inside, every person that leaves WWE, they keep getting disappointed. Malakai, please. Malakai. Brian wouldn't trash WWE. Brian said he loves Vince. Please, Malakai. Please. Just one little fuck you, Vince. Please. Adam Cole. Please. Just one. Mike and Maria Kanellis doesn't do it for us. Please. Curse them out. Please. I need it. Most of these people leaving, they know at the end of the day, it's business. Karrion Kross, Killer Kross the other day. Yeah, I would go back to WWE, but under different circumstances. When he did his first Twitch, I was there live. Please, Killer, I need that hit. You got to curse them out, please. Making fun of the mask is not enough. We already knew that. I need that. They want someone to go on that show and rip the shit out of WWE. A lot of people watching this will publicly hate what I'm saying, but deep down inside, they know every single thing that I said just now is probably right. And why? I'm not smart. I look at it straight up. I have no agenda. I have no bias. I look at it straight up as a wrestling fan, not an AEW fan, not a WWE fan. I look at it as a wrestling fan. Realistically, this is where things went wrong. This is where they should have gone right. They didn't go right. This should have been this. This is where I think it could be, and this is why. Or for 25 minutes, I could just do what a lot of other people do. What are you, fucking stupid, Bruce? What the fuck is wrong with you? Are you kidding me? Mustafa, you did the right thing. You quit. Good, good. You don't need them. You know what? For those people that do that to Ali, you send him an unemployment check. You go send him money to take care of his family while he's out of work. After that 90, I'll tell you what's stupid about WWE. He hasn't been used in 90 days. They could have released him 90 days ago, and they wouldn't have had to pay him. Now, if he gets let go. Now, here's the interesting thing. WWE probably would give him the 90-day no-compete so he doesn't show up another place tomorrow. But WWE doesn't have to because WWE did not release him or fire him. He requested his release. So if I was WWE, I ain't paying you 90 days. You just got 90 days pay without working. Whether it's our choice or not, he's the one that quit. So if I was WWE, listen, you know, you're just prolonging the inevitable. Just release him. He quit. Don't give him 90 days free money. Let him go wherever he wants tomorrow. Let him replace that money. Let him play video games on Twitch and recoup it there. And I'm not trying to be a jerk to Mustafa Ali. I'm just saying that WWE is stupid that they could have just released him 3 months ago and they would have been over and done with it already. I hope nothing but the best for this guy. I absolutely love how much he tried to creatively advance his character. You know what that tells me? He loves wrestling so much that he could just collect a paycheck and just do whatever he's being told and be content with it. No, that's not enough for him. He's got to think, how do I become all the talk? You'd see how much work he put into that idea. That's someone who cares about wrestling. That's someone who cares about his character. That's someone who cares about his profession. And to see WWE shoot it down, ignore it, come up with a stupid idea, which we don't know what it is yet, that's crushing for a lot of people. You know, he's got a wife, he's got a newborn, he's got bills that he's got to take care of. So, you know, when people say, oh, you did the right thing, all right, what happens 90 days from now where some of these promotions are like, look, you know, we can bring you aboard, but you got to understand, you know, with our roster, I mean, we really, you know, we could find a spot, but we can't give you, you know, what you did. What happens if that starts happening? There's no guarantee. Are you all going to set up a GoFundMe so to make up the difference for what he loses? Okay. I think we talked enough about Ali for tonight. Let me know what you think. Post it in the comment section. In fact, what I will do, like I said, for those tuning in for this episode to sit down, I'm going to make this a separate clip because I did that about with Tammy the other day and I got a really nice response out of it. You know, topic in hand, we'll put Mustafa Ali as a separate clip so everybody could check it out. Charles Media. I need to take a step back and hire... Oh, Tony needs to take a step back. I thought you meant me. Hire a good writer, booker. Yeah. Tony Khan. That'll happen in time. See, what's happening is Tony Khan wanted to be so outside the box. Tony Khan, when they started AEW, they wanted to come across... Tony Khan, let me tell you something. Tony Khan's perfect world is Ring of Honor and ECW put together. The Japanese influence, I think, is more of Kenny Omega than anything else. Trust me, I grew up in the ECW Ring of Honor era. I grew up way before that, obviously. But you look at Tony Khan, the atmosphere, the aura, the work ethic, the crowd interaction, you know, whether there's 50 people there or 15,000, Tony Khan, that is the ECW atmosphere. It's not exactly, but that is a beautiful thing with AEW. AEW, Tony Khan's perfect AEW is Ring of Honor and ECW. Having intercourse and having this beautiful baby called All Elite Wrestling. The problem is, and this is what, and I'm being straight up here. Ring of Honor first started, must hold the ring rope. We're all about honor. Honor, 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 honor. Forget about the Feinstein stuff. That ended up showing it. He didn't do what they alleged. But forget it. I'm not even talking about that. But what ended up happening? Everything was about honor when Ring of Honor started. Then they realized, you know, we got to do some ultra violence. Especially in 2002 when XPW came around. I worked for them. When they came to the Northeast. Oh, CZW invasion, Ring of Honor. Oh, my God. They were all about honor. That's like Priest meets porn star. How can you do that? And then what happens? Raven's House of Fun, weapons, weapons, weapons. And then you realize Ring of Honor adapted. Because Ring of Honor, as different as they wanted to be, they had to adapt. Same thing is happening with Tony Khan. You see, a couple of days ago, Eric Bischoff, oh, I got to pull this up. This is worth me pulling up. I promise you it's worth me pulling up. I don't know exactly where the picture is, but it stands out in my computer that I'll probably find it. Why? See, I already found it. The other day, Eric Bischoff was saying that Tony Khan reminds him of Dixie Carter in a lot of ways. Anybody remember when I did that a year ago? Anybody remember that? They're only starting to figure it out now. Now, look, I'm not saying that Eric Bischoff is only figuring it out a year later, but a lot of other people are only figuring it out now with him. As time goes by, he will evolve more and more. Now you see the fruit roll-ups. Now you see a DQ. Now you see a couple of things creep in. Guess what? There's nothing wrong with it. Tony Khan is realizing he doesn't have to reinvent the wheel in order to have a successful AEW. Originally, if WWE is a round wheel, no, we got to be a little different. And they're realizing that, you know, we don't need to be so explicitly different. I always said WWE is TV PG. AEW is TV 14. I know for all of us, we don't give a shit about ratings anymore. You put something on TV and it's TV 14, you're like, yeah, like that's going to change my viewing habits. No, but for a lot of parents out there and a lot of people who have restrictions on their TVs for younger viewers, a lot of them can't watch AEW. It's TV 14. WWE is TV PG. There's a big difference. If there wasn't much of a big difference, then everything would be TV 14 and that would be the end of it. So yes, Liam and everyone else, Tony Khan could use an experienced booker or an agent. William Regal, I think, would be a great addition. The thing is, I don't know if William Regal resides in the United States or not. And I don't know if you do remote Zooms for creative stuff like that. I think you need a little more. Look, Jericho helps a lot. Some of their management that are wrestlers, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, they help a lot. Mark Henry gives a little input here and there. A lot of wrestlers go up to the legends like Paul White, Matt Hardy, and they bounce ideas off of them. So believe me, there is a team effort going on right now. But at the end of the day, when they do creative meetings, you can't just have, let them go out there and ad lib and do what they want. Because you do need someone higher up to polish it off. All right, I know how to put this together. But, you know, you might not be able to make it pristine and beautiful. You know, you put things together and it's all assembled. But what about all the screw covers and everything else that make it look perfect? So, trust me, if every wrestler was creative enough that they could book and write their own stuff, there'd be no need for those positions. There's a reason why. You know, when you go work for a promotion, they have people working behind the scenes doing this stuff. You need that. History shows that. Just imagine wrestlers over the last 20, 30 years, especially 40 years if you want to go to Mania, a little bit before Mania. Imagine some of your greatest feuds, and there's nobody behind the scenes to creatively select, you know, who's going to win, who's going to lose, or how they're going to win, or how they're going to lose, or the finish, or this, or that. And instead, look, blah, blah, blah versus blah, blah, blah. All right, you win. You're going to win. You two figure it out. Your promotion would be dead in a matter of a year. You need people also in authority figures that people accept. You know, this is a job at the end of the day. This is a job at the end of the day. For these wrestlers, it is a job at the end of the day. Imagine you go get a job as an independent contractor. Hey, boss, I'm here on the job. Good. Build whatever you want. Just make sure it's a house at the end of the day. No. I want the windows like this. I want this like this. I want this a certain way. This has got to be like this. This has got to be like this. You got to do it within 6 minutes. You got to do this. You got to do that. But boss, I think this should be triangular. I think we should go with a slate roof instead of a hip roof. Stupid. You put a slate straight roof. When it snows, there's no place for the snow to go. We need a hip roof so it goes off. Insurance gives a big discount for that. When it rains, it flows off the side. And then you have gutters and everything like that. But a flat roof looks nicer. I could do all these dives off of it. You need people to creatively come up with the answers for all this. You can't leave it all up to the wrestlers. That sounds all nice and appropriate and everything. But that's how why do you think early on with TNA, How many X Division matches did you see? Remember what I used to call all of them? You know what? Whoever could come up with this, now obviously I'll only keep this contest up for like 30 seconds because I don't know if anybody's going to come up with this answer. This will show if you're a hardcore longtime listener of mine. Back when TNA, NWA TNA, were doing the X Division matches, I used to call all the X Division wrestlers a certain name. And it's a wrestler's name. And I said, they're all such and such. Does anybody remember who I always compared the X Division wrestlers to? I compared them to one wrestler. When you had the Ultimate X matches with like 10 X Division wrestlers in the ring, who did I compare those wrestlers to? It was one wrestler. Not Rey Mysterio. Not Loki. Not Alex Skipper. Not X-Pac. I'll give you a hint. It's not a high flyer. It was because of something that the X Division wrestlers would do in their matches. Not AJ. I know people are guessing right now. It's okay. It's okay to guess. It's something that all the X Division wrestlers would always do whenever they had a match against each other. Nobody knows? Nobody remembers? Crazy Shem says Eddie. No. All right. I'm gonna say it. All right. I'm gonna say it. Nobody's gotten it. I always said they're 150-pound undertakers. Because what would happen is somebody would hit a move, they would fall down, and then they would get right back up so they could hit their expert move or finishing move. Someone else would get knocked down. Someone else would hit a move, and this person would bounce right up, and he would hit his move. And then next thing you know, they got nine people, one after the other, all hitting their moves. And then everybody gets laid out at the end, and all the fans are like, that's what they would do. They're all undertakers. Instead of selling someone's amazing move, they would get knocked down, and it'd be like, but I got to do my move. That's what they would do. That's all they would do. There would always be parts in the match that somebody would get knocked on their ass, and it's almost like a little child, but I got to do my move also, and they would pop right back up and do their move, and everybody would do it. Every time, everybody had to do their move. They would pop up like undertakers. You need that creative side. You need it. You need it. So, I guess we're going to save this topic for tomorrow. But I'll give you a little sneak preview of what I'm going to say. WWE talking to the Star, I guess that's a newspaper in Canada. There was a conversation and the topic of the bloody match between Penelope Ford and the Bunny versus Ty Conti and Anna Jay on Rampage came up. And WWE said that they're not willing to do that. And WWE's statement was, quote, if you look at the gory self-mutilation that bloodied several women in the December 31st event on TNT, it quickly becomes clear that these are two very different businesses. We had an edgier product in the Attitude Era, and in the 2022 world, we don't believe that type of dangerous or brutal display is appealing to network partners, sponsors, venues, children, or the general public as a whole. Okay. Now, like I said, I'm going to talk about this in detail tomorrow. I have no idea what Mish is going to say about this. And it'll probably come up as a separate clip, but I'll give you a little sneak preview of how I feel about this. Pay attention to the last sentence again. In the 2022 world, we don't believe that type of dangerous and brutal display is appealing to network partners, USA, Peacock, sponsors, advertisers, venues, the buildings, children, they're TV PG, they're not TV 14, and the general public as a whole. I watched thousands of people post pictures of bloody WWE wrestlers. They showed moments where Brock Lesnar elbowed and split open Randy Orton. They showed every type of example to say, look at these fucking hypocrites. You know why they all did that? Because they did not do what you and I have been doing for a couple of years now. We don't have to agree with it, but we try to understand what a billion-dollar publicly traded company does and does not do. They have to answer to a lot of millionaires and billionaires that AEW doesn't have to. AEW is TV-14. WWE is PG. WWE starts doing that, you're going to have TV-14 rating. Do you remember the last time WWE had TV-14 rating? Do you remember that? I remember it clearly. We had a whole discussion about it where everybody else didn't. Do you remember the night? I want to give away a new shirt so bad. Chat room, first person that could tell me, what was the night, the last time WWE had a TV-14 rating? I will give you a hint. It was on SmackDown. Tell me what happened that night that led to a TV-14 rating. What happened that night? July 2008? No. What happened on that episode? Thank you, Benjamin. I got to give it to Benjamin. Give it to Benjamin. Yeah, Benjamin deserves it. The night Retribution debuted on SmackDown. Do you remember when we brought it up and people tried to shoot me down? They're like, no, 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 no. Braun Strowman that night, almost a superhero, almost chokeslammed Alexa Bliss, almost TV-14, almost. No, Retribution debuted on SmackDown. And Fox said, we don't want no fucking Antifa storylines on our show. Get that shit off of SmackDown. TV-14 rating. We don't want it. Retribution was never seen on SmackDown since. Period. When WWE made that statement, they're not hypocrites. They have different people to answer to than AEW does. 2022 is not even 2012. So when WWE says that, I'm not defending them, but there's no controversy here. All you had to do is think of the night Retribution debuted on Fox and WWE got a TV-14 rating. You think all the parents at home, yes, people do care, even though we don't. You think the parents at home allowing the kids to TV-14, what the hell do they do? The advertisers. Advertisers look for TVPG Pro. TV-14, what did they do? Fox was so upset about the Retribution, they made a TV-14. What did they do so bad? They chainsawed a ring rope? If they got a TV-14 to chainsaw a ring rope, could you imagine what rating they would have gotten if they had that match with Ali, the Bunny, and Penelope Ford versus Ty Conti and whoever was in that match? Ty Conti and I don't want to be disrespectful and leave the names out. Ty Conti and Anna Jay. Can you imagine if that aired instead? What kind of rating do you think they would have gotten? TVMA? I bet you it probably would have been edited off. There's no controversy here. WWE is not playing hypocrites, but it's sexier to post a tweet, hey, WWE, here's a picture of Roman Reigns bleeding like a pig. 1,000 likes. WWE, you're a fucking hypocrite. And that sounds all nice and everything, but this is why I choose to try to understand how it operates with millionaires and billionaires, not deli clerks and gas station attendants that are on social media. I try to follow people who are executives that run corporations that reinvest their money and make money than to see people who do paper routes and Uber drive. Nothing against those people, but these people on social media, They have all the solutions, yet they can't get their own house in order. I don't like all the executives. I try to understand how it operates. So when you see a phrase like that, just think about this. When people saw that phrase, a lot of people's immediate answer was, oh, let me find the bloody pictures of WWE. Oh, oh my God, look what I found. Blood. Oh, I got to put this online. I got to put this in tweet. I got to be first. Oh, it's all misspelled because they got to get it online first. Oh, 5,600 likes. Oh. I look at it like, yeah, no shit. Fox, Peacock, billion-dollar deals, TV deals, hundreds of millions, ESPN. How come Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker is not up for an ESPY in 2022? That emoji. How come WWE is part of that world? AEW is not. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I enjoy hardcore stuff. ECW is my favorite promotion of all time. But you start putting this, breaking this apart, you realize we got drama queens on social media and on shows. They just want to be drama queens. That's all they want to be. So that is a sneak preview of my defense tomorrow. Now, hopefully Mish maybe takes a different side about it. But that's pretty much the defense that I'm going to say. You think I'm wrong? Post it in the comment section. You know, like I said, you know, I understand drama and the juicy stuff sells. It's more attractive. It gets more hits, more views, more likes. I'm not interested in that. I'd rather just try to understand it and be forthright and be a little bit more understanding. You know, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why so many of you have been by my side for so long and having the privilege of working for Blue Wire. I mean, I'm not saying this to rub it in anybody's face, but look at this again, if I could find the picture. Look at this again. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it. I usually can find things right away if I want to, but I want to just leave you with this, and then we're going to start bringing this home. So it looks like we're going to do what a lot of you suggested. We'll rotate every week. We'll do calls 1 week, live chat another week, and we'll keep rotating it. So next week we'll take nothing but live calls, and then the week after we'll go back to the chat. But I wanted to show you something. It doesn't look like I'm going to be able to find it. You know what'll happen? Right before I say I can't find it, I'll find it. Let me see. I'm looking. Oh, that's not it, but it looks like that I am close. I know that doesn't sound appropriate, but maybe I won't be able to find it. My point is, shit, I really wanted to show you too. It's a good point also. All right, I'm going to check one more area. Just bear with me. Don't disconnect. I want to just show you to make a point. If I can find it. I'm almost done going through the pictures. I got to label these better. This way, all I do is just do a search and boom, it pops right up. Is it going to show up? Okay, it might. Is this it? Nah, doesn't look like it's going to show up. Damn. Oh, wait a minute. This might be the area. No, that sucks, man. I see a picture of Brandy's feet. I don't know. I mean, the first ever podcast we ever did, you know, we were talking to, I don't know, for some reason, Brandy's feet became a topic. Don't ask me why. That's the first ever picture that ever showed up on any of the shows that I did. I have no idea why, but I'm looking one more spot. Yeah, I don't see it. Damn. That sucks. All right, let me look one more. Yeah. If it's not in this list, I'll just show you tomorrow. Wait. No. All right. I don't want to keep you waiting. So we'll just show it to you tomorrow. You know, but the point is that, you know, there is a time to have some fun and creatively rip. And again, WWE deserves to be creatively criticized for the way they have misused some wrestlers. No question. But, you know, how people don't understand, haven't figured it out, I think that's a better way to put it. I mean, you look at the overall product. Look at every wrestler. Xavier is a fucking king. Kofi is what, a knight? We got Zelina is a queen. Carmella is wearing a fucking mask. You know, we got a woman with a cape. I mean, you just go down the list. I mean, a lot of wrestlers, creatively, it's simple, 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 simple. And, you know, the only way WWE is going to change that format is when revenue starts to nosedive. It's not just the value of the stock. Stock fluctuates. But when you see a stark decline in revenue, stark decline on ticket sales, stark decline on TV deals, stark decline on merchandise, you know, everything, subscriptions, you know, even though they're on Peacock overseas, it's still WWE Network. When you start seeing that take a steep decline, if the climate and the environment and investors feel that it should be up the notch with the type of content, then WWE will adapt to the times. But, you know, it just sucks. Not every wrestler wants to be kid-friendly entertainment. I mean, you look at GCW, you look at CZW, you look at some of the wrestlers, look at Moxley, look at others. You know, not everybody wants to be wholesome, PG, family-friendly entertainment. Some wrestlers want to be violent. Some wrestlers want very complicated storylines. Some wrestlers want to tell this brutal story in the ring. That's why I loved Hangman Page versus Bryan Danielson 2 so much. Because even though it was a lot shorter than the first one, those two guys acted like two guys that wanted nothing else but to be AEW heavyweight champion. Headbutting the shit out of each other, you know, getting busted open, looking like two people that fought in the streets, fought for their lives. You know, you see two people fighting, and once the fight is over, their tuxedos, their suits are perfect. They're like, and they walk away like nothing ever happened. People be like, that's it. Those two guys look like they had a war. So I'm not agreeing with WWE on all of this, but I try to understand it. Big difference. So anyway, we're in an hour and 43. I think it's time we should start wrapping this up. Don't forget, tomorrow I will be here with Mish. We're going to recap Raw. We will get into a couple of news tidbits from over the weekend, your questions, and anything else that transpires between now and tomorrow night. And we will have that discussion. It should be a really interesting one. So, no, not going long, Twix. I do 6 shows a week. And, you know, I don't want people overloaded. There's a lot of you out there that can't, just physically can't tune into every minute of every show. So I want to keep these a little bit tighter so it's more of a chance that people can check this out. The one thing that I always feel bad the most about is when someone asks me a question about a particular topic and the day before, 2 days before, I got into a whole segment about it. I don't like saying, oh, check out this episode. You can find it there, you know, because they're tuning in now. But like I said, you know, you got to keep it a little bit tight. So everyone, have a good rest of the evening. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So keep in mind in your thoughts why we celebrate the life of Martin Luther King Jr. And, you know, it's something that, you know, is very powerful. I mean, it's not just a little vignette that you see right before Raw on Monday nights. There's a lot more to it. And, you know, I hope everybody has a good rest of the weekend. And I hope to see you tomorrow night after Raw. And don't forget, I mean, if you want to wait until I post a separate clip about the Mustafa Ali stuff, because I am going to put a separate segment on YouTube later. So when people search and they just want to hear that discussion, you know, I'll give you my perspective. And I'm not saying that my perspective is better than someone else's. You know, everybody looks at it differently. But, you know, I have my view on it. And, you know, you let me know if you agree or disagree. And buy the shirt, buy the shirt, buy the shirt.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.